It's time for the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle. Stay tuned as we discuss local and national sports from Southeast Missouri and beyond. The Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle is brought to you by Royal Retros. If you like cool throwback jerseys of defunct sports teams, Royal Retros is the place to buy. If you go to royalretros.com and you order with the code SPORTSDESK, all one word, you can get a little bit off your order. So check out Royal Retros. And now on with the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle. And welcome back to the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle. I'm Mike Bueller.
I'm a very sleepy Mark Sanders.
And I'm a very sleepy but best in the NFL, Kyle Roberts.
And we are joined today by our good friend, Jeremy Nall. Very excited about this one. Jay, tell everybody, hey.
What's up, world?
Guys, we're going to have a fun show today. We're going to be talking a lot of NFL because, like Mark, Jay is a very passionate Minnesota Vikings fan.
Because misery loves company.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and he's an old friend of ours. We go back many years. I would say a good, 20 years or pretty dad burn close to it. But we're going to talk a lot of high school football. We're going to talk some Three Rivers Raiders and Lady Raiders basketball. But we are going to start off by talking high school football. Last week was the district semifinals. This week we are in the district championships. And
so in Class 1, we've got Portageville, the number 4 seed, who handily defeated the top-seeded Charleston Blue Jays. They doubled them up 28-14. And then so they are going to take on the resurgent third-seeded Hayti Indians that dropped 50 points on the second-seeded Saxony Lutheran team. So we've got Portageville at Hayti this weekend.
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting game. Hayti is a lot different team since they've gotten healthy. I think Hayti is at home. They're healthy. I think they're going to win this game.
I think it's going to be a really, really competitive game. But if Hayti has everything working on the offense, they're going to be able to outscore Portageville. So I agree with you on that. Moving on to Class 2, District 1, the top seed Caruthersville Tigers, surprising no one, move on to the final game, and they will be hosting St. Pius X from Festus, who beat St. Vincent last week. So that game will be taking place in Caruthersville. And, I've been riding the Tiger train all season, so I see no reason to get off board right now. So I'm picking the Tigers to go on to state.
I'm going to pick the Tigers as well, but this is going to be an interesting game because this is a rematch from earlier in the season. I want to say opening week, and Caruthersville won that game as well, but it's going to be interesting. This is going to be one of the better games to watch this week.
Barn burner in Class 3, District 1, Dexter, the top seed, having no problems with Scott City Chaffee. They were probably expecting a rematch slash grudge match with Park Hills Central, but Park Hills Central fell to Potosi, so Potosi will be traveling to Dexter to take on the Bearcats. Except for that little slip up against Park Hills, I see no reason not to pick Dexter to win the district for the second consecutive year.
I'm going to pick Dexter as well, but this one's going to be interesting. Potosi is a very explosive team. I caught some of their game on video against Donovan in the district quarterfinals. Potosi's very explosive. They've got a running back named Noah Walton, who is an absolute home run hitter. Potosi loves big plays. They love, scoring on big plays. Their speed is going to be a challenge for Dexter. Again, I'm taking Dexter. But Dexter's going to have to earn this one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely going to be a hard-fought game. But don't look at that 63 that they dropped on Donovan. That's fool's gold. Donovan does not have a defense in the second half because it's their offense. It's the same players on offense and defense. So by the time you get into the second half, they are just gassed. And you also shouldn't ignore the fact that Potosi gave up 31 points to a Donovan offense that has struggled at times this season. And again, it was not a blowout over Park Hills Central. So I think the real edge is going to be number one, Dexter at home. Number two, Dexter wanting to prove that last year wasn't a fluke and that they can actually advance to the Final Four this season.
It's going to be interesting, and if Dexter does win this game, and like I said, we're both picking them to win, there's a good chance they will be playing Valley Catholic out of St. Genevieve next week in the state quarterfinals. If Dexter wins, I think that game will be at Dexter. That's going to be a heck of a matchup if it happens.
Yeah, I think so too. We don't have any local interest in Class 4. Festus, the top seed, is taking on an unexpected team, the sixth-seeded North County Crew, who absolutely destroyed second-seeded Perryville last week by a score of 51-7, so they earned the right to take on the Festus Tigers. You know what? I don't know anything about these teams, but the fact that North County was a six seed and they're in the championship, I'm going to go with Cinderella and pick North County to win.
I'm going to take Festus, but we will see what happens.
All right, moving on to Class 5. Boy!
Yeah, this is going to be a good one.
This is, yeah, I mean, it's like I wish my schedule would allow me to travel to Farmington to see the Knights take on the Cape Central Tigers. This is going to be, I think, either this or Dexter is going to be the best game of the weekend in terms of district championships in Southeast Missouri. I'm going to go with Farmington.
I'm going to take Cape Central for a couple of reasons. Well, actually, one reason in particular, they have Keyshawn Boyd back. He's their star running back. They lost him first week of the season. They got him back late in the season after they played Farmington. Cape is playing good. They're healthy. It's going to be interesting, but I'm going to take the Tigers on the road for the upset.
Well, I don't think you could really call it an upset. I mean, this is a pick 'em game as far as I'm concerned, but I'm going to give the edge to Farmington just for the home field and the fact that I am genetically incapable of picking Cape Central to win anything. I can't do it. The matchup that no one was surprised about is Jackson going to the Class 6 championship. Their opponent is a bit of a surprise, as northwest of Cedar Hill won a low-scoring game against second seed Seckman. Remember, it was Seckman last season that spoiled Jackson's hopes. I don't think Cedar Hill is really going to stand in their way. I'm going Jackson all the way to the state championship this season.
I'm going to pick Jackson to win this district championship. If they win, it sets up a really interesting Class 6 state quarterfinal. Jackson, if they win, will play the winner of CBC and Lafayette. If I'm correct, if CBC wins that game, we'll be at the Pit in Jackson. If Lafayette wins, it will be at Lafayette. Either way, it's going to be a great matchup. I think there's a good chance it's going to be CBC and Jackson in the state quarterfinals, which if it is, that's going to be must-see high school football. Don't you agree, Mark?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, everything that I've seen from Jackson, I mean, they look like a team that is going to be really, really difficult to beat. I mean, there were a couple of times this season where it's like, oh, this might be where Jackson actually drops a game, and they ended up winning by 4 or 5 touchdowns. So this is a team that is absolutely rolling in every aspect of the game, and I expect them to keep that machine moving down the field.
It's going to be interesting. Jay, you got any thoughts?
Well, you were going back to the Farmington thing. Their coach with one Brett Eckley at the helm, and I'm telling you, they are night and day different with him under the helm.
Let's look at the tail of the tape here, the matchup. The thing that I really like to focus on are the average points per game. Farmington has had a powerhouse offense, averaging 43 points a game. Cape Central, again, did have that dip in the middle of the season, so their average points right now are just under 28 points. Farmington's defense is giving up 24. Cape's defense is a little tougher, giving up 18.5 games. If we look at the common opponents, that really doesn't tell us much. Both teams lost significantly to Jackson, and then both teams also beat Poplar Bluff and Sykeson, although Farmington's margin of victory against those common opponents was wider than what the Tigers had looking at their matchup history. Let's see. Farmington did win that earlier game, but then looking back the past few years prior to beating Cape Central in the regular season this year, the Knights had four consecutive losses to the Tigers dating back to the year 2022. So, I mean, again, I'm not sure that that tells us all that much about which team has an advantage here. But like I said before, I think I'm going to go with the home team. I think having that home field and Jeremy, just like you said, you know, that coach really has that team playing at a high, high level this year. So go Knights.
I have to agree with you, Mark. I can't in good faith ever pick Central either, and I live in Cape. I can't.
if you grew up in Poplar Bluff, I mean, there are, you know, Sykeston and Cape, you're never going to pull for Sykeston and Cape if you grew up in Poplar Bluff. It's just, it can't be done.
Back in the day, you know, me and Mark both went to high school at Poplar Bluff in the 1980s. We remember going up against Cape and Sykeston and Jackson back then, and we did not like those guys.
No, not at all.
Switching gears, we are going to switch to Three Rivers College men's and women's basketball. The Raiders are 3-3 after they lost Tuesday night at Jones College, the number 7 team in the country. Jones won that game by 14 points, but it wasn't that close. Jones is a really good team. This is the same Jones team that came up here last season, you know, in the pre-Christmas finale and absolutely boat raced the Raiders. Got up 20 points in the first half, ended up winning by almost 30. It was a little closer this year, but Jones is really good. I mean, they got out to another big lead on us, led by 20 points or pretty close to it most of the second half. The Raiders came back, you know, in the last few minutes, made it more respectable. And it's a frustrating loss, but you know what? We're 3-3 right now, and we have played four ranked teams in our first six games. The good news is things are getting ready to lighten up a little bit. We are going to Mineral Area this weekend for the Bob Seacrest Classic, and we're playing Wabash Valley and Lakeland, and those are both really good schools, but they're not nationally ranked. So hopefully we can get a couple of wins and get some wind at our backs.
Yeah, and really when you're talking about JUCO basketball, you're really talking about everything before January is really just preseason. I know the games count for the record, but you know, until you get deep into the region matchups that take place in January and February, you really, everything else is just sort of like you know, the first half of a horse race, or like the first three quarters of a car race, where you're basically just trying to put yourself in a position to win at the end. So I like the 3-3 record. I like that we beat Triton pretty handily over
big.
The weekend. Yeah, that was a 12-point win over what was the second-ranked team in the nation when we played them last year.
No, but they were the national runner-up, so they were pretty close.
Yeah, they're way up there. Looking at the women, no surprise, they are undefeated, 5-0 on the season. Their most recent games coming, let's see, over the weekend, they swept the Three Rivers Classic with wins over Trinity Valley and Itawamba. Am I pronouncing that correct?
Actually, it's Itawamba, but that is a tough one to pronounce.
Itawamba. Tell me about that club, because Lady Raiders only pulled out a low-scoring 4-point win over Itawamba.
Itawamba's pretty good. I believe they went to the national tournament last year. You know, they were tough. They beat Moberly by, I think, 30-plus the day before. So that was a really quality win, because, I mean, Moberly the next day beat Trinity Valley that we beat on, you know, last Friday night. And I remember seeing that, and I thought, uh-oh, we may be in trouble. Yeah. And instead, Lady Raiders came out and pulled out the close win. You know, the Lady Raiders, you know, played Lincoln Trail, you know, last night, before we tape this, after we tape this podcast, and they are off until next Wednesday when they are headed down to Hot Springs to take on National Park College before coming home next Saturday to take on Vincennes.
Yeah, so, you know, Alex Wiggs has the women's team pretty much where we expected them to be. They started off really hot out of the gate, surpassing 100 points for the first two games. Their total score per games has declined since then, but they're still winning, and that's what counts.
Indeed it is. Jeremy, you're a Raider alum. What are your thoughts?
Well, I always say this. Playing tough opponents in the early season is good for the club.
I agree.
That's where you can really learn about your team and see. It's a good measuring stick, as they say in sports, to see where your team's at. And it's good to dip in the water. I always believe in the playing tougher non-conference instead of softening your schedule and playing cupcakes. I hate teams that play cupcakes in the beginning of any sport. In the beginning, because then when they play somebody that's worth any kind of 2 cents in their conference play, they look lost.
Right, and that really is a benefit in a league where you actually have a fair playoff system. The only place that doesn't work, of course, is in Division I college football, where you have to pad your schedule early on because of the way their bogus playoff system is structured.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's a topic we ought to hit sometime soon. But on that note, we are going to go to a break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about the National Football League here on the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle.
This is Three Rivers men's basketball coach Robert Kirby, and you are listening to the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle.
And we are back on the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle, and we are diving headlong into the National Football League. I'm going to lead off first by talking about the Tennessee Titans, who did not lose last week.
Because they didn't play.
Ding, 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 ding.
I did see a neat meme that said they lost 26-0 to the bye week.
I think I sent you that meme.
If you call that thing they do on a football field playing.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, they don't have a head coach, and they're not going to have a coaching staff for much longer. And now they're already in competition with the New York Giants to retain the services of one Mike McCarthy, who, if he doesn't have a job by next spring, it's because he's chosen not to go back to work as a head coach, not because people don't need him.
Exactly. I will give a couple of thoughts. First of all, we are playing the Houston Texans on Sunday. We're the Titans. Yes, I think we are a little better now that we've gotten rid of Callahan, but we're still a bad team. I think the Texans are going to come into Nashville and win this game. But the big thing I want to address is this. This past week, the New York Jets and the New Orleans Saints both got wins. They both have 2 wins now. We are the only 1-win team in the NFL. We are all alone in dead last in the league, which means we are in the driver's seat for the number one pick, and we control our own destiny to get the number one pick. All we have to do is lose the rest of our games.
Yeah, but you're probably going to screw that up, and you're probably going to do it this week against a Houston team that has been badly up and down all season. I mean, Houston had a big comeback. They were down by quite a bit to a Jacksonville team that has, surprised us on several occasions this season. And, you know, they came back and scored a lot of points late with a backup quarterback for a really impressive win. So I can definitely see them going into Nashville and only scoring like 6 or 9 points and losing an ugly 13-9 game to Tennessee because, you know, that's just your luck. You can't win for losing.
That could happen. But I got a feeling it won't. I think there's a better chance that we're going to end up getting beat something like 35-13.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
No, I'm telling you, Tennessee's going to have at least a one score, at least a touchdown lead at some point in this game. It may be early on 7-0, but at some point Tennessee is going to lead this game by at least a touchdown.
I could see that.
Yeah, in earlier games of the year, I mean, the Titans, I mean, in all fairness, Mike, you have to give them credit where credit's due a little bit. They have had some games where they've been ahead. They just can't hold the lead.
Because they don't know how to win yet.
Right.
Yep. We're going to switch gears real quick and go from talking about a really bad team to talking about a really good team, the Los Angeles Rams. I am starting to remember they're not the St. Louis Rams. Kyle, this is your team, and I know you're a happy man, so have some fun.
I'll tell you what, and you should have, first and foremost, the correct title is the best team in the NFL, the Los Angeles Rams. Thank you very much.
The Indianapolis Colts would like to have a conversation with you along with the New England Patriots, but continue, please.
Go ahead, bud.
Oh, thank you. Listen, we put belt to ass once again to the 49ers, and it feels good to be able to say that securely after all the childhood trauma they gave me in the 90s. But, again, John Matthew Stafford, 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Yeah, need I say more?
That guy for MVP?
And also, congratulations for him finally becoming a 500 record quarterback.
that is amazing. Well,
16 years.
Yeah, until you just think of how bad those Detroit teams were. You know, this is my favorite matchup of the whole weekend. I'm going to have to flip in between that and Kansas City at Denver, because Seattle, who has just been an absolute freight train on both sides of the ball this season, are coming to SoFi to play the Rams, and this is, you know, I'm going to be clean here. This is who's got the bigger muscles match in the NFC West. You know, these are like, this is the big boy matchup. This is Godzilla versus Mothra, and who is going to be supreme out there in the West? And this is going to be a heavyweight fight that I believe is going to come down to the last possession.
I like what you said there, but let me add a little extra spice to that. To borrow one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite wrestlers, like you said, this is Godzilla versus Mothra. Now, this is King Kong versus Godzilla, but Seattle can't beat King Kong and Godzilla because we both of them. You feel me? And we all gas, no brakes with it.
Yeah,
but
well,
I mean, will say the Seahawks worry me more so that freak of nature Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Boy, where did he come from?
The Ohio State University.
Not the point. It's the point. I missed the boat on that kid because
big time.
Because I wrote him off. I was like, I dumped him in my fantasy team like 2 years ago.
Oh no.
I was like, nah, look who they're going to get. Geno Smith's over in the ball at the beginning. And that, I mean, I thought Sam Darnold, yeah, okay, sure.
Like, Sam Darnold leads the NFL in yards per attempt, adjusted yards per attempt, and yards per completion, and QBR, and net yards per attempt, and adjusted net yards per attempt. This team airs it out. They air it out.
No, I can totally admit where I'm wrong.
Here's the X factor. Here's the X factor.
And also, what did DeMarcus Lawrence do Sunday? 2 scooping scores.
Yeah.
I thought I was done with the Seahawks having a great defense. I thought I was safe from them.
Yeah.
But we ain't running from them either.
This is the X factor in this game, guys.
It was against the Arizona Cardinals. Remember this.
Yeah. This is the X factor in this game, and that is that Sean McVay lives rent-free in Sam Darnold's head. Sam's 2 worst games of the season last year for Minnesota was that Thursday night game in Los Angeles where he was rattled the whole game, and then his complete destruction. In fact, losing that playoff game to the Rams in the way that he did probably soured the Vikings on any consideration of whether they should retain Darnold services for another couple of years and just
that makes so much sense.
Put off JJ. You know, if he had played even decent, if they'd been competitive against the Rams in that playoff game, Darnold might still be a Viking. Now he's lining it up in Seattle, but they haven't faced a defense that is this aggressive at getting after the passer as the Rams are. And Jared Verse and that guy on the other side are just going to be teeing off on Darnold all day long. And if he gets happy feet, he's going to throw a couple of bad picks or a strip and sack. The key to this game is, can the Rams defense get to Sam Darnold?
My concern is the back end, which for the last couple of years has been our weakness is the secondary. But getting to the quarterback is different than getting pressures. And I want to pressure him. I don't want to have to just resort to just sack, because as a team, we only have 27. But we are among the league leaders in quarterback pressures. We make them uncomfortable and say, and take away Kenneth Walker, because they have about a league average rushing attack. Take him and Charbonnet away, and dare Sam Darnold to only throw, because if you go look at the numbers, Jackson Smith and Jigba has more catches than Cooper Kupp has targets this year.
Well, you better play that cover three with the two high safeties and keep JSN double teamed most of the game, or else he's going to burn you
at all costs. But I remember when Sam Darnold said he was seeing those. We sacked him 9 times against last year in that playoff game against y'all. Consider the fact that there was no Aaron Donald on that football field, and we still did that to him.
Oh my gosh! I don't know if you've heard this. I heard this on the O-line committee. Purple Day. By the way, shout out to O-Line Committee. It is the best football podcast out there today. You can find them on YouTube. That's how I listen to them. It is Alex Boone and Jeremiah Searles, along with Phil Mackey from Purple Daily. If you want to listen to great football talk from two guys who played a combined 16 years on the offensive line in the NFL. These guys are hilarious to listen to. Anyway, they were talking Monday, they were talking about the idea that McVay might be on the phone with Aaron Donald saying, "Hey, Aaron, all you have to do is come and play on third downs for us. 25 snaps a game, just third downs. Come and win another ring with us." What would you think if Aaron Donald came out of retirement for this playoff run for the Rams?
Do you, sir?
He's speechless.
No, I'm not speechless. That's literally impossible. Forget who I am. But I'm not mad at that, because all you're telling him to do is pin his ears back and go get the quarterback on third down.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Yeah. And he's fresh. Have you seen the dude?
He's been working out. He
looks like the Madden 99 club still.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. If that actually happened, I mean, the Rams are your Super Bowl favorite. I mean, there's no question. There's no question about
it. Now, what I am going to concede the stage to the two most miserable men on this show, who have never won a Super Bowl. I love y'all to death. You have arguably the greatest collection of wide receivers to ever play in the NFL. The only team that has a defensive lineman win league MVP. And here y'all are with no rings. Take the stage.
Go ahead, Mark. Blow the Gallahorn, buddy. Go for it.
Okay, let's start off. Let's start off with this. Minnesota's being led by a rookie quarterback who thus far has 5 starts under his belt. One of which he played most of the second half injured with high ankle sprain. We are asking, you know, he's actually behind Tennessee's Cam Ward in terms of his development. And so looking to J.J. McCarthy to win games for you is foolish. And Kevin O'Connell, if he was really deserving of that Coach of the Year award, and at the time it looked like he was, but he should know better than this. There is just no way that a rookie quarterback is not going to make those game-killing mistakes that you saw last week against Baltimore. Yeah, he threw two terrible picks, and you can make whatever excuses that you want. Justin Jefferson fell down, pass interference in the end zone, whatever excuse you want to make. He never should have been throwing the ball in the first place. You've got Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason in the backfield. You need 1 yard for a first down. Run the damn ball, okay? Everyone in America knows in that situation you have to run the ball. You spent $1 billion on rebuilding your offensive line to move the defensive line back 2 yards so that you can gain one. And if you can't do that, you don't deserve to be playing in the league.
No, it's frustrating. It's more than frustrating. It drives me bonkers every time you're right. Everybody in the whole building knows what's going to happen. Minnesota's been so predictable on third and short, fourth and short. It just appalls me.
Yeah, I mean, and they're so predictable at this point. I mean, they could line up in show run. They could line up in a power eye formation, and the defense would still be playing cover two. It's like, nah, he's going to throw it deep.
No, he's going to throw it to the tight end. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't want to go through bit by bit and diagnose all of the problems. I want to ask this question because it sounds like a foolish question, but you know, this is a win now league. Jeremy, is Kevin O'Connell about to sit on the hot seat in Minnesota?
No, I believe it, 100%, 100%. Especially this week, playing against the Bears. I mean, now granted, the Bears, and I said beginning of the year, the Bears were going to be better. They made the right steps in the right direction. Talk about rebuilding the offensive line and giving Caleb Williams a lot more time to throw the ball and make through progressions. It's just so frustrating because I know what Minnesota has potentially, and they just always seem to, I don't know, lay an egg.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the talent on paper, and you can see the talent on the field. I mean, and the Vikings have played a couple of good games, and they've had really outstanding moments, even in games that they've lost. So you can see, it's like, you know, this is not a team like the Jets or the Browns, where it's just like, you know, they have no hope. They have all this talent, but they're making the most ridiculous mistakes, turnovers, stupid penalties, holding penalties on kickoff returns. It's like, are you kidding me?
Poor the Peters kid 2 weeks ago. My goodness. Against Detroit, mm-hmm. Three penalties negating all that kick return yardage. Are you kidding me?
And it's like, how? And this falls directly on the feet of the coaching staff. How are you not coaching? How are you not coaching this stuff out of the game? 8 false start penalties on the offense at home. That hasn't happened since 2009. KOC is supposed to be an offensive guru. He's supposed to be a culture builder. And you're telling me, even with a rookie quarterback, you can't get the cadence straight? I mean, 3 or 4 false starts, yeah, it was a bad day. 8? At home? Come on! It's like, what are you doing? I mean, it's like preseason football out there. And, you know, everybody should have expected this from JJ, because rookie quarter, you know, everybody is just so torn up right now looking at the success that Drake May is having in New England, because Drake May was who we really wanted. You know, we don't have all the details of what we offered to New England. And I don't, you know, maybe New England was like, you can offer us Fort Knox. We're not trading. We're taking Drake May. And obviously that was the right decision. But, you know, when you see how well May is playing this season, it's like, okay, slow your roll. Look at how he played last season. The first 10 games, he was terrible. He was an absolute disaster. Your rookie quarterback is like your first pancake out of the pan, okay? Just throw it straight in the garbage. It's no good, okay? You got to have that second one, you know? And so, if the plan for the Vikings was to build a veteran roster around which JJ could play like a rookie and still win if he minimized his mistakes, here's the problem. O'Connell is not giving McCarthy the opportunity to minimize his mistakes. Quite the opposite. He's putting him in a position to fail consistently, and I can't for the life of me understand why he's doing this. Does he think that the best thing for McCarthy's development is trial by fire and failure? Because that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Well, I think, in my opinion, they're wasting Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. I mean, I know NFL Rodgers that would kill, and I repeat, kill for the talent that Minnesota has.
Yeah. Okay, but even with Jets and Addison, you're not giving them a chance to succeed. Okay, are you giving them like crossing routes or like things where McCarthy can make a quick read and hit them down the middle, which is his best pass anyway, those crossing routes down the middle or quick slants? I mean, you can put all of your receivers in a position to succeed with where McCarthy's skills are right now. But it's like he's out there expecting him to be like Sam Darnold was last year, or like Kirk Cousins was for him in 22 in the first part of 24. And it's like he just hasn't learned how to be that yet. He might be that in a few years, but it's like how far are you going to stunt his development? You know, until he just doesn't work in Minnesota. You know, he becomes just like, ironically, Sam Darnold. You know, a high draft pick with all kinds of talent, and the Jets just ruined him, and then he goes to Carolina, and Carolina, you know, kicks him down a couple more flights of stairs until he finally gets to a good coach. You know, I'm so disappointed because I thought O'Connell was the guy. It's like, finally, we've found the coach who knows how to manage a team, knows how to manage an offense. We've got this awesome defensive coordinator with all of these confusing moves. And every game it happens, I'm just, what are we doing? It's well, what are we doing?
Well, their defensive coordinator probably won't be their defensive coordinator much longer. I think he's going to be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. But at this point, I don't think it really matters because I can't see at this point with the way that O'Connell is coaching the team or preparing the team, because the team looks, except for the Detroit game, where they looked completely prepared to beat a superior team. And it's like, that's the part that's confusing me so much. It's like, how can you look so good on the road against Detroit and then come in against a Baltimore team that has really struggled this season and is not as talented as they have been in the past, and just give that game away with mistake after mistake and with a play call plan that a high school coach could have countered? You know, it's much less John Harbaugh. I can't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't know why he is doing what he's doing this season with the team. I can't figure it out for the life of me.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. The Ravens, the Ravens are playing the Bengals. The Vikings have a big rivalry game this weekend against the Bears. And that's going to be an interesting one. We're going to do our lightning round real quick and start picking games. Tonight, the New England Patriots are playing the New York Jets. Yeah, the Jets got their second win of the season, but the Patriots are going to beat them. Sunday morning, the Washington Commanders are going to Madrid, Spain to take on the Miami Dolphins. That's a matchup of two teams that are really struggling. I'm going to take Washington in this one, but that could go either way. Who else have we got? We have the Panthers and the Falcons. I'm going to take the Falcons at home. We also have the Bills and Buccaneers. Buffalo's at home. I'm taking the Bills. Texans, Titans, Texans. Duh.
Bills better play better than they did against the Dolphins. Listen, they're
at home, and the Tampa in the cold.
See, I
don't know. I'm going to surprise some people here. I think that Tampa is going to beat Buffalo.
That's going to be an interesting matchup.
I think if the Bucs were healthy, they would have a chance because the Bills have some serious problems. But I see this as a bounce-back game for the Bills, and I love Baker Mayfield, but he just doesn't have the weapons right now.
It's going to be interesting. Bears and Vikings. I'm going to pick the Vikings to bounce back.
I'm going to take the Bears.
I'm taking the Bears. Yeah.
Now. Yeah. I got Chicago. Like Ben Johnson's. I got that offense clicking.
Yeah. I mean, and here's.
I tell you. I told you this earlier in the segment. Offensive line rebuild. Just night and day difference in Caleb Williams and that offense. I mean, I thought hell froze over when they scored 47 points. and I thought last week when they were down to the Giants, oh, here we go. Bears make a great game against Cincinnati. Then they're going to let down against the hapless Giants. And they end up scoring 14 points in the fourth quarter and winning that game. Yeah. That showed me a lot of that team.
Yeah,
and the fact that it keeps Green Bay not being in first place.
That'd
be fine.
You know, here's a lot of things that could happen. McCarthy could have a bounce back game. The offensive line could continue to play well. Grenard might be healthy enough to play. Dallas Turner, by the way, I feel so bad for Turner getting called for that ridiculous roughing the passer.
Oh,
I know it's like, well, you can't land on the quarterback. That looked like a little kid hugging his dad on Christmas morning. I mean, you know, Dallas Turner, I mean, he's a physically strong guy, but I mean, just like when he hit Lamar Jackson, I mean, and fell down, it's like he's like a foot shorter than Lamar. It's like he couldn't have hurt him if he tried. It's
like, what are we doing? We play flag football nowadays. It reminds me of when Grady Jarrett got flagged for roughing the passer because he applied too much weight on top of Tom Brady. Grady Jarrett was 325 pounds. What's he supposed to do?
Exactly.
Good grief. I can't tackle anyone anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, could the Vikings have a bounce-back game at home and beat the Bears? They could. But I'm long past having any optimism because, you know, what I really think is going to happen, I think that O'Connell's going to send McCarthy out there to throw the ball 50 times this week until his damn arm falls off. That's what I think he's going to do. I think that Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason could just go old school like Lenny Dawson in Kansas City and just sit on the bench and smoke cigarettes all day. That's how this game is going to go.
It's going to be interesting. Getting back to shooting to predictions real quick, I am going to take the Packers at the Meadowlands over the Giants. I am taking the Steelers to beat the Bengals in Cincinnati. I'm taking the Jaguars to upset the Chargers in Jacksonville. I've got the Rams at home over the Seattle Seahawks. I've got the Niners going to the desert beating the Cardinals. I've got the Ravens beating the Browns in Cleveland. I've got the Broncos upsetting the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wrong.
I've got the Eagles beating the Lions, although I'm rooting Lions, and I've got the Cowboys picked to go out to Vegas and beat the Raiders.
Oh, of course. All right, let's backtrack with our guys on the phone. Packers or Giants, you know, I'm going all in with Jameis Winston. They're going to have a new head coach. because here's the thing. The Packers are not winning games that they're supposed to win, and yeah, they should win this game, which means they're not going to. I mean, Jameis is—he's going to throw four touchdowns and four interceptions, and they're going to win that game by like 2 or 3 points, probably with the last second kick.
Yeah,
because
probably a real ugly game.
Yeah,
probably a real ugly game.
It's going to be the greatest disaster you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be.
Buckle up.
Yeah, it'll be like a train wreck. It'll be like, oh, I can't stop watching.
You don't want to look, but you sure the heck don't want to look away.
Joe Flacco is going to beat the Steelers. I mean,
Steelers, 100%.
The Steelers are led right now on offense by the corpse of Aaron Rodgers. He looks like an extra in Michael Jackson's Thriller video right now. He can barely move.
I'll throw this out there to all you fantasy guys and gals. My resurgence of fantasy football has resurged twice because of one Joe Flacco from the University of Delaware Fighting Blue Hens. That's right. I said it. That's right. He has led my fantasy team to one championship 2 years ago when he was comeback player of the year with Cleveland. And let me tell you, I ride the Joe Flacco train all day long.
Yeah, this season is reminding me why I stopped playing fantasy football all those years ago. It has been almost as miserable of an experience as being a Vikings fan, I can tell you that. The Chargers are going into Jacksonville.
Tricky spot.
Oh, man, God. I think this
guy. This is a Jaguars team that's showing up. This is also a Jaguars team that just lost Travis Hunter for the season.
Oh, yeah. That's bad. That's bad. I'm going to just have to go with coaching here and pick Harbaugh.
Close game. Yeah. 3 points.
I do think, as I said earlier, I think the Rams are going to get to Sam Darnold. I think they are going to pressure him and force him into making some bad turnovers at the wrong time of the game. And so I guess we don't need to ask Kyle who he's picking.
I like Seattle, but I'm telling you, it's going to be very close. I think Seattle will find a way to win. I think it'll be at least maybe a field goal. Maybe comes down, like you said, to the last possession.
Yeah,
it's definitely going to be a high. I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
I'm watching the whole game from beginning to end. I'm sitting in the basement in front of my TV, and I'm just tuning that in on Fox.
Definitely picking us. So also, I wanted to chime in on that Steelers Bengals game.
Oh yeah,
I am all for seeing Steelers fans who are one notch above Cowboys fans in terms of delusional, seeing their world burn, because nothing ever changes. This is why I'm mad at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They waited all offseason to get Aaron Rodgers. It is 20 years since that man entered the NFL. This is the equivalent of finally getting to make out with your high school crush, but she does drugs now. Oh, gosh. You waited this long, and she got meth mouth. God. Oh,
speaking of delusional,
and then you act like you're disappointed. Bengals are going to win, and their defense is awful.
Yeah,
and they're still going to win.
Speaking of delusional, this is
crazy. That division. I told everyone when Steelers got out ahead in that division, I said, just wait.
Yeah, fool's gold.
Wait.
Yeah, my delusion is that Mike Tomlin finally gets fired. From Pittsburgh, they hire Brian Flores to replace him, and then Tomlin comes home to Minnesota to run our defense, or he could be the head coach if they decide to cashier Kevin O'Connell when he goes like 7 consecutive games without a single handoff to a running back. Okay, Frisco's going to beat Arizona. They are the dead. They are the dead birds once again, and I think I had posted this on our Facebook site. I think that Kyle Shanahan could win with me at quarterback, and my right arm doesn't even work anymore, so I would have to play left-handed, and I'm not left-handed, and I think I could still win a game for the 49ers. It's just, I mean, yes, Mac Jones is a professional quarterback, but I mean, come on, nobody expected him to put up these kind of numbers.
Is there any word on Purdy? Is he coming back after this toe injury?
It's one of those turf toes that just the only thing that's going to heal it is staying off of it. So I think he's out for the season. I don't think he's coming back. And he doesn't really need to. Mac Jones is winning games for you.
Hey, listen, Mac Jones showing a little promise. And I'm telling you, he's going to catch on somewhere and be good. I think he's going to find the right situation for him.
Just don't go to the Raiders, dear God.
Don't go to Minnesota. You'll find a way to lose.
Yes.
Anyway.
The Ravens are going to beat the Browns. They're going to be back at 500 after this week and obvious favorites to win the AFC. They're absolutely winning the AFC North.
Dylan Gabriel. Oh.
Yeah, they're absolutely winning that.
Because he's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, you might as well start Shadur.
Pump the horn for your boy Shadur. Why is he not seeing any of the field?
Whatever.
You're trying to tell me Bailey Zappe has more to offer that football team than he does?
I mean, listen. Right now, Bernie Kosar would have a better chance of getting on the field.
Is there a more miserable head coach?
Would have a better chance in 25 years after he got drafted.
Is there a more miserable head coach in the NFL than Kevin Stefanski? 99, 99,
We ain't got probably that not. Kind of time, but I can give you that. Ty Detmer started the first game in 99, but I digress.
Oh, my God.
Ryan, oh, God. Ryan also gave 43-0, by the way.
All right.
But why won't the NFL flex the Sunday night game to Monday night? Lions at Eagles, but instead, we got Raiders at Cowboys?
Yeah, boy, I tell you, isn't that the truth?
But that's America's team, y'all.
That says everything about us right now.
They'll be playing on Monday night every week.
Okay, hold on. Let me get control of the ship here. We're about to crash into the rocks. or the Rockies as the Chiefs go to Mile High to play Denver. Denver is more fool's gold, okay? All right, they are not as good as their 8-2 record. The Chiefs are going to prove. The Chiefs are coming off a bye. They're going to go in and they're going to hammer the Broncos. Defense be damned. It doesn't make any difference. Bo Nix is not going to beat the Chiefs. He's not.
Bo knows. Don't you all know?
Yeah. Well, Bo knows how many times he's going to get sacked by Chris Jones and Karloftis. I think that's what's going to happen. Detroit is going to beat Philly. Philly's not as good as their record.
Philly sucks.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Lions, even though I think I picked the Eagles in this one, but I am rooting Detroit.
I'm going to have to root for Detroit just so Chicago doesn't win the North. My God, what are we talking about here?
Hell would freeze over. There's
absolutely. It's like we can't allow that to happen.
I'm telling you right now, everybody talks about Jonathan Taylor justifiably so, but why is not we're not talking enough about Jahmyr Gibbs being a dominant running back this year?
What a player.
Damn right, and everybody was saying, well, why did the Lions take this guy at 12? You see why now. Yeah. And not only that, Dan Campbell called all the plays on that Lions offense.
You know, I've said this a million times over. I would run through a brick wall for Dan Campbell.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. That is my kind of coach.
Well,
he might be my favorite. He is my favorite.
He is my favorite coach, and my coach is great.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I have right now such coaching envy. You know, when I look at someone like Dan Campbell, there's like, you know, and what did Campbell do after losing at home to a Vikings team that pretty much everyone thought they should have beaten? And again, that was the best team game that the Vikings have played. But you know, what did he do last week against the Commanders? He ran the ball. He went back to basics and said, we're going to out-physical the other team. And I'll give you another quote from the Purple Daily Forecast, and I think this was Phil Mackey's hot take about the Vikings. They are the softest offense in the NFL right now. They're just...
Oh, that's awful to say.
Oh, I know.
Boom.
But true.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but... They are. I mean, it's like your coach. Think about the men playing on that offensive line. Your coach doesn't have the confidence in you to gain a yard with two downs to do it. It's third and one. You're in a position you know you're going to go in on a fourth down, and it's like you can't move the guys on the other side of the ball enough to gain a yard. Are you kidding me? I mean, McCarthy could take the snap and fall forward for a yard. Anyway, I've already been on this rant. I don't need to revise
negative.
It. But you know, who
back
knows? Who knows? Who knows what will happen? It's like I know O'Connell wants those big plays, you know, and it's like I think maybe he thinks it's like maybe we can recapture, you know, like 1998 or Favre's great year 2009. Yeah, where we're literally just, you know, throwing 50-yard bombs down the field, and it's like, hey, you know, you might get there in a year or two if you don't completely screw up McCarthy's head so bad that he's just not going to be any good for you. You know, O'Connell has this great quote, and you've heard it a million times. It goes, organizations fail young quarterbacks far more often than young quarterbacks fail organizations.
And, that's so true.
Yeah, and we're sitting here and we're watching O'Connell fail McCarthy in real time. And that's the part that baffles me the most. It's like, this is the guy who you declared your franchise quarterback. What are you doing with him? I don't know.
It's going to be interesting, to say the least, guys. And I think that's our show for this week. Jay, it's been great having you on. I'm glad to have you on the ship.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And maybe we can bring you back after a Vikings win, and we can actually speak with a little bit of optimism.
Please.
Well, yeah, Jeremy, you never know when that may happen.
This again. I can't tell you, if y'all don't know how many 2 a.m. phone calls we have had, and not even always about sports. We will literally discuss about how the Flying V and the Mighty Ducks is damn near illegal in hockey.
It's terrible. It's still terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Yeah, me and Jay have had some late-night calls as well, talking a lot of sports, talking about, you know, people we know. But, guys, it's been fun, you know, looking forward to doing this again. And I'm Mike Pueller.
I'm Mark Sanders, teetering on the edge of sanity.
This is Kyle Roberts, swimming in first place.
And you have been listening to The Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, Kyle, and this week, Jeremy Nall.